Are you ready to rewind? Take a nostalgia-filled ride back to a simpler time. It's Acid Wash Memories, a retro pop culture celebration. And now your hosts, Joe Marotta and Michael Quinn.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 63 of Acid Wash Memories, a retro pop culture celebration. Today we're talking about 7-Eleven and other very convenient stores. My name is Joe Marotta, alongside Slurpee's own Michael Quinn. How you doing there, Michael?
Howdy ho, slurp slurp.
Slurp slurp. Thank you guys so much for taking a big bite out of your day to join us here on Acid Wash Memories. If this happens to be your first time, we are a retro pop culture celebration. Each week is something completely different in the retro pop culture realm. And we do have 62 other episodes available where, Michael Quinn?
In the archives.
In the archives. So you can find something you'd like there. Get a big gulp of our archives.
Yeah, how many big gulp jokes are going to be in this podcast?
I hope that's all of them. For everyone's sake.
Well, then there's going to be the section of like the history of the big gulp is.
Don't spoil anything.
I'm not trying to. I don't even know what you have written down. I know this show.
You're just playing the odds, aren't
yeah.
you? Well, folks, thank you for taking a gamble on us here and joining us for Acid Wash Memories. Whether it's your first time or you've been here a long time, we would appreciate it if you follow us on Twitter at AWM Podcast and also join our very friendly Facebook group.
So friendly.
Very friendly.
Home Crap Home.
Home Crap Home over there. You can talk to hundreds of other folks who like to reminisce about the old crap.
Really is the best.
I think it is. I think it's a lot of fun.
Do you want to join Joe's campaign to get the pizzerias or whatever back?
I would love some grassroots support on that, to be honest with you.
We need a GoFundMe to support, like, maybe like a kick. You give the money to Keebler.
I'll give it to Keebler, whoever owns the recipe now.
Guys, take this and just make like a limited edition and just see if people like it.
Your support is needed, folks. But yeah. In all seriousness, thank you guys for being here with us for episode 63. Well, that's all the important particulars out of the way, especially the pizzerias bit.
Yes.
Oh, we're out of pizzerias.
I do want to preface this by saying we're not only talking about 7-Eleven. We're talking about other convenience stores as well.
So this is kind of like the convenience store episode. In a sense, would you say?
Yes, it is. I just believe that 7-Eleven worldwide is the biggest one.
Yeah, I guess so now, right?
It is.
They always weren't. Like, you could always make an argument for, like, Krausers or something, right?
Krausers had a long run.
Yeah.
Circle K is the other one that if it's not 7-Eleven in your area, it's Circle K.
True. We don't have it up here.
We really don't. We had one in Manahawk. 7-Eleven is still there.
Didn't they, like, start around here anyway? Like,
no.
Is that why? Like,
no, but don't worry. We will get to that.
Come to 7-Eleven, where you'll always get your favorite soft drink fixed by someone who knows just how you like it.
You know, if you're listening to this and you live somewhere in the world, which most of our listeners live in the world, a few are in Venus, but we don't really...
Or Mars.
Yeah.
With Elon over there.
A few are in Mars, yeah, but we don't talk about that. But if you live in the world, every now and then, Quinn, you might find that you need to quickly purchase something at odd hours, you know?
Yeah.
Perhaps a pack of gum or some windshield fluid, maybe some chips.
It's always like some weird shit if you're shopping that late at night. Like,
a cheap cigar for
something
nefarious
like,
purposes.
Crap, I don't have this.
Right.
An extra slice of tomato, however you like your burger, that's how you get it at 7-Eleven.
And for a lot of people, you know, going to a grocery store would be inconvenient.
Right, like you could get this stuff there.
Sure.
Here's the thing, even with the advent of like 24/7 grocery stores, I think some people just, it's a little overwhelming. They think of like busy work or something if they're going to,
right.
If they're going to like the full fat like grocery store.
It does seem like a little, like too big for its britches, maybe like.
It's like, this isn't for like just some pizzerias, like I don't need to be here.
If only, Quinn.
Yeah.
No, but you're right. So if only there was a very convenient place to purchase, you know, your s'mores Pop-Tarts at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Thank heaven for 7-Eleven.
Thank heaven.
Oh, thank heaven for 7-Eleven.
It is the largest convenience store chain in the United States of America, that's for sure. But it does maintain a global presence. So those of you listening in the UK and Canada and elsewhere.
It's even in like Japan and stuff.
Singapore.
Like, it's like everywhere.
It is a big deal. And today we're talking about it, its founding, its expansion. And later on in the show, the overall experience of going to a 7-Eleven, because
right.
there is a certain je ne sais quoi about that, Quinn.
There is, in the people there and whatnot. Yes.
Yes. But we're going to also talk about other convenience stores. I guess before we get to any of that, though, most importantly, Quinn, what's a store?
A store's where you get stuff. I feel like I've said this definition before, no, Joe?
Please repeat it.
Well, it's where you purchase items from a merchant of some kind.
Right, a merchant.
Yeah. It could be anything,
the
really.
Shopkeep, really.
Yeah, it, when you just say store, it could be, you know, any store.
A tennis
tire
racket.
Store,
yeah, right,
or whatever.
Right.
Like
the jerk store.
Whatever thing that you're going to, usually go to a specific store. But these convenience stores, these have a wide array of things.
As Lex Luger would say, a plethora.
And a whole plethora.
But it's never like the best version. Yeah. It's always like the lowest of low. Like, you're not here for something specific. You're here for something random.
And it's always about 180% more expensive than it should be.
Right.
Because you're paying for the convenience.
Like, I always find it funny when you go to like a convenience store and you get like an iPhone charger and it's expensive, but it's also.
It also sucks.
It's also, yeah. It's expensive, but it's also not like the approved version. So it could like break your phone or something.
Yeah, where it's like this iPhone's like, this doesn't work.
Yeah,
it's
like, iPhone's like, hey.
They say it.
Listen. You can buy a charger right on the phone. You don't have to deal with these people, but but if you do, beware.
It's true.
Like
though.
Maybe charge it like once or something. Yeah. Like don't leave it.
It's dangerous. Obviously, the concept of buying and selling has been around since pretty much the dawn of civilization. But we're going to speed up that timeline. We're not going to talk about 5000 BC here.
Yeah.
Aww. One of the precursors to the modern day convenience store. Was the general store, Quinn.
Oh, the general store.
It was very general.
Yeah.
And basically at a general store, they were located during a period of time. This is the 17th century, the 18th century, mm-hmm. right? Where things were more rural still.
Yes.
It was well before the suburbs.
Yeah, usually you got your food from a farm.
Literally, like a farmer's market or something like that. And these general stores would be set up in such a way that people did not have to keep traveling to different places in order to buy goods of any kind.
It's kind of like literally, like some of them would even say this, like on the store, like provisions, like just like stuff, like little conveniences, right? Like
literally
things that I don't know. Maybe you can't make a hat or something like just real easily.
I can't.
And you need and hey, remember we talked about this in the car episode? Like people need they don't want to get shit in their hair, right?
Well, yeah, the roads are dangerous.
The roads are effed up, so it's like, listen, we got a couple of like crappy hats here, like that are pre-made. Like you can just like. Take them along, like that kind of thing. Right,
right? Like disposable hats, basically. Yeah. Or maybe you need a box of screws, or maybe you need some fish.
Yeah, it could be. It was a lot of things.
Right,
it's general.
But in general, they had stuff.
Yeah.
Butter, milk,
uh-huh.
all the stuff you might need. So that was one of the forerunners. They really surged in popularity during the 19th century, during the late 1800s, into the 20th century. You know, the town that I grew up in and that you also lived in for a period of time, for a long time, there was only one store in this old, it was a mill town. It had a big factory in it that have long since closed.
That made, what was that? This
snuff.
Snuff, yes.
Snuff, yeah. And it had, for a long time, one store, and it was the general store.
Right, which probably... The building was old. It probably literally 1800s. Was there, like, was the general store of this town in the 1800s also.
100% what it was, yeah.
The general store is, like, the main point of the town, the focal point.
But they began to fall out of fashion for several reasons by the mid-20th century. As we've talked about a real lot on this show, after World War II... Not being funny, but post-war is really where the baby boom happened.
Right.
And thus the suburbs sprung up.
But not only that, it's just like the stuff itself. Like, for example, after the war, plastic became very prominent. So like.
True. And they made it possible.
Yeah. But the point is that a lot of things could be easily and cheaply and quickly made and be distributed. And there was an abundance of it. Right.
Due to plastic, yes.
Yeah,
you're
so
right
like,
about that.
Like, I don't think the general store is cutting it anymore.
Well, that's, that's another good point, though. Yeah, it's not just that there were suburbs, but also, people now had access to cars, more of them. They weren't taking a horse and buggy to the general store.
Right, or walking there. Because I don't even think people were taking horse and buggy to the general. The whole point is, like, you were, like, kind of around it, right?
Well,
like, you were probably
point.
Just, like, walking over there.
It was near enough to you. Yeah, I guess that's a good point. So that's
you
just
weren't even getting your horse out of the stable to go to the general store. It's horse-free.
No horse?
Yeah, you don't need no horse for this.
You hold your horses.
Because it's a one-horse town.
Thank you, Quinn. Yeah. And then bodegas are another, I guess, related concept. Bodegas in general are associated with New York here in the United States because they're ubiquitous in New York City,
right?
In Manhattan and the other boroughs as well. Bodega generally is a corner store, you know,
right.
And it's a very similar concept where you can buy and get certain items that you might need for certain uses.
It's the same thing.
Very general.
It's just a convenience store.
It's a convenience store. It's very convenient.
Right. It's the city version.
Yeah, it's basically the urban version of a general store. You're right about that.
But because in a city, it's like there's different like sections, but even though there, it's not
neighborhoods and
stuff. Like, yeah, like you kind of need like a bodega in each set, because why would I go like 25 blocks to the nearest bodega? I need a bodega in my neighborhood.
We all need a bodega in our neighborhood, Quinn. So 7-Eleven, though, started as a company known as the Southland Ice Company in Dallas, Texas.
Wow.
Not very close to us in New Jersey. They made ice. They came up with this idea. What if we freeze water and sell it?
What if we freeze water and sell it?
Fucking genius.
When did they exist, though?
So this was already in existence by 1926.
Okay, so the early days of refrigeration being completely proliferated.
Look at your word. This is during a period of time where most people still had ice boxes, right?
You would have like you would actually get ice delivery still for some people. Like you could have a fridge, but like it was kind of pricey. Like it wasn't like now where like the fridge comes with the house.
Right.
It was like, wow, we have a fridge. Holy shit, right?
We're living big.
Yeah.
And cold.
Yeah.
No, you're right though. So most people will get ice delivered or they go buy it and then put it in their ice chest.
So it was a profitable business because people would need ice to cool their provisions in their ice box, which wasn't refrigerated. It was just, you know, it had insulation.
Yeah. It was a box that you put ice in.
Yeah.
And it kept your meat from spoiling and other important things like that. And in 1927, the Southland Ice Company, one of their employees, John Jefferson Green, if you care, he also started selling eggs, milk, and bread from the Southland Ice Company stores.
See, now this is probably a good idea. And, you know, if you're the guys running the ice company, right, back then, you already probably have refrigerators to produce said ice, right?
Right, you need
to. And you might be thinking to yourself, man, if everyone just has one of these in their house, we're going to go out of business. They won't need us to deliver no ice no more.
That's a good point.
Right? It's like, so we got to figure out something else here.
Yeah. And the other reason too, is it kept people at their store for other purposes. Mm-hmm. Not only do they have ice, but while I'm here, it'd be very convenient if I could buy some bread and eggs. You know, you got to make your bread of eggs.
It's the very basics, Joe.
Very, very important. And that was basically the idea. So more locations opened up that offered this. And by 1928, that's only a year later, the Southland Ice Company stores were renamed Totem Stores.
Totem.
T-O-T-E, apostrophe E-M. And there's a twofold reason. They had totem poles out front as like an attraction, you know, like, hey, look at our totem pole. But also,
that's a landmark, so people know to find it.
Yes, exactly. And the other reason is because people were toting their goods away.
Oh, so that kind of tote.
See, you get it?
I get it.
That's a good one.
That's clever, actually.
It actually is. It's not bad. So some
1920s ingenuity.
Very flapper humor, if you will. The Dallas locations, it was the roaring 20s, Gwen.
People were making businesses, man. Everything was going good.
And nothing was ever going to go wrong.
It was never going to end.
It was going to be only up from
only
here.
Only up. We're going to have flying cars next.
Absolutely.
See some of the Futurama crap that they like in the magazines back then and stuff? They're like, we're just, you know, soon we'll just be flying. Everyone's going to have a plane. And like,
we're about 50 years overdue on that prediction.
But they were just so like, they really thought that like everyone would just be prosperous forever, that the point where like everything would just keep developing because we'd have endless money.
Yet movies were always silent. They never predicted the talkie, did they?
I'm sure somebody was. I'm sure even the viewers in the theater were like, you know, it's only been going to be a couple years so we can hear what they're saying, right? It's like,
yeah, exactly. We don't need these weird subtitles here. So some Dallas locations of the Totem stores experimented with another concept, and you got to admire the roaring 20s ingenuity here, Quinn. Gas pumps at these locations. Now, that's pretty friggin' smart and early on.
I mean, yeah, because if everyone's going to have to bring their car here to fill up their gas, then we might as well sell them bread and eggs. And ice.
Exactly.
And ice.
And ice. They might need it still.
I mean, it is the core of our business.
Right. I mean, that was what they were founded upon. Yeah. They were built upon ice. Unfortunately, and sorry if this is a spoiler, if you're wearing a hat, hang on to it. the depression hit, the Great Depression.
Right.
You ever hear of that?
Stock market crash. And
yeah,
then,
it did.
And then everything crashed.
Everything pretty much crashed. Yeah. It was not good. It was
worldwide, not even just like in America.
Oh, no, no, no. It was not a good time anywhere, pretty much, after 1929.
Like the entire world economy just said, nope.
Just we're
that
shutting
unlimited
off.
Money thing, yeah. That's not real.
Sorry. Take your ice.
Yeah.
But although this company, the Totem Stores, although they struggled, they did survive the Great Depression.
I would attribute that, though, that because they provide a very basic function, something people like actually need. It isn't superfluous or anything. Like,
you're right.
It isn't like
it's not a luxury.
It's not a luxury item, right? Like bread and milk and eggs and stuff.
Right.
Like that stuff people are going to need whether they're poor or rich.
And ice, too.
Yeah.
In all seriousness.
Uh-huh.
So by 1946, that's the year after World War II, post-war, Totem Stores was renamed 7-Eleven.
Now, why would they do that?
What a weird name, right? What a strange name. Well, at this time, their operating hours were 7 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
to 11 p.m.
And wow.
We might take that for granted now in the days of 24-hour Walmarts, you know.
Right. But I mean, even when we were kids, though, Joe, this is because I feel like the 24-hour thing didn't come to mass market till the early 2000s.
Maybe the last 20 years.
Because there was still here's the deal, is that I remember a time even in the 90s where a lot of shit was closed past
10.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's you'd go down the main route 18 by us.
Yeah, the route.
And it'd be dark after 10.
Yeah,
after 10. There nothing would be open.
And during this time, we're talking, post-war, having a store open for that long was really unheard of because normally they would be, it was from dusk till dawn.
Well, from 10 to 11.
Or dawn till dusk, I should say.
10 to 11 specifically, that's probably that extra hour that nobody was doing.
Yeah, and some places would close at 9, within a town or something.
9:30 was always the kind of accepted real closing, and only some stuff would remain open. So being open till 11 was whoa, that's either an extra hour and a half or an hour, depending on the store.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a long time for a store to be open back then.
Right, and especially because it's open early in the morning, too. On top of it, it's not a business that starts at 2 or something.
Right. Because one of the things you have to consider, folks, is back in the day when stores in modern American society were formed, it was usually a sole proprietor or mm-hmm. A couple of people. So they weren't going to be there all day.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like I open my shop at 7 a.m. I close it at 7 p.m.
Or if,
that's
for example,
it.
You had a bar, you're not going to open the bar till in the afternoon at the earliest.
Two
or something, and maybe you'll stay open a little later. I feel bars are the only thing that were the exception to the rule as far as closing late.
Yeah, because everything is shifted over.
Right, because they start in the middle of the day.
Right. So this is actually a pretty clever name for a pretty groundbreaking concept of being open this long.
She should have known when you're out to shop, 7-Eleven's the place to stop. Just drive right in and come as you are. We'll come out and serve you in your car.
Not surprisingly, soon after, more stores would follow suit. And we were talking about 24 hours. The first 24-hour 7-Eleven was all the way back in 1963.
So they were already, you know what that tells me? It tells me they realized this opening from 7 to 11 concept, that it was this is probably so successful. Why don't we just staff the place 24/7, right? It was why not?
That's
right?
What they did, yeah.
Yeah.
And then as 7-Eleven grew, it acquired other chains that were already in existence, such as Speedy Mart, 1963. And of course, we've all heard of this one, Pack-A-Sack, in 1971.
Clever name.
Get your minds out of the gutter, folks.
So they were acquiring their competitors, Jeff.
They were acquiring their competitors. There were some financial issues. I don't know if you knew this, but in 1987, there was a bit of a stock market crash.
There was.
Remember? It happened.
Black Thursday or Tuesday or some day.
It was bleak. No matter how you slice it. Michael Douglas wasn't happy.
Yeah.
It was a whole problem, right?
At the end of the Wall Street movie.
Yeah. It wasn't good. And 7-Eleven filed for our very favorite chapter, 11, in October.
Well, they know a thing about 11. They're experts on the number 11 and 7. But,
it's only fitting, really. Yeah. Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't file for both 7 and 11. That would have been cute. October of 1990.
Chapter 7 and 11 bankruptcy.
Imagine, just because they can. Mm-hmm. They weren't in it for long. They were in it until March of 91 and received $430 million in assistance from Ito, Yokado, and 7-Eleven of Japan to bail them out of this.
This is what I was talking about. This Japan 7-Eleven thing is a pretty big deal over there. I've seen shots in Tokyo. I was like, the 7-Elevens there are... They're awesome, actually.
Oh,
my
God.
They're like premier ones compared to ours.
Well, ours are piddly compared to them.
So please go shopping. I don't know what that is. 7-Eleven. 12-13.
Glad it was empty.
I do want to give you some stats. So 7-Eleven currently, as of press time here in 2024, has over 84,000 locations worldwide. Yes. And it is
going to be one of the biggest, like from a geography perspective, businesses there is, right?
You want to run down some of the countries it's in? I'd like to do that here. Cambodia.
Whoa.
China. India.
Uh-huh.
Indonesia. Israel. Japan, of course. Laos, Macau, Malaysia, Philippines, Singapore, South Korea, Taiwan, Thailand, the United Arab Emirates, mm-hmm. Vietnam, Australia, Denmark,
uh-huh.
Norway, Sweden, the UK, fish and cheeps, of course.
Oi, mate, the 7-Eleven Z over here doesn't have fish and cheeps, I don't think. Bit naff if they did in it. They do have pizza, though. Fish and cheeps.
Canada. Get your fish and cheeps over at 7-Eleven. They're probably like horrible. It's probably like worst fish and cheeps.
Those of you over on the other side of the pond, let us know, do they have fish and cheeps?
Because they always have like American staples at ours, but they're always like... dank. Like they're always like, here's a hot dog and
here's
hamburger.
A wet hot dog.
It's like this is America 7-Eleven over here.
Here's a soggy hamburger you can throw in the microwave.
Yeah.
You asshole. And also in Brazil, in South America, among other places. So it's a big company. I guess is the point I was trying to make. And we're going to talk about why and what they do.
7-Eleven Empire.
The empire of 7-Eleven. But before we do that, I want to shout out some other stores, not too many specifics, but Quinn mentioned Krauser's earlier. Yes. I don't know how big Krauser's was, but it was definitely huge in New Jersey when we were growing
up. It was big enough. Yeah. Like, it was to the point that this is a true thing. It's when I was a kid, my dad would call any convenience store a Krauser, like even if it wasn't.
It was like Kleenex, right?
Yes, it was like that. So like, and see, the funny thing is that he wasn't the only one. It was like other people we knew would say like the same thing. Like, I'm going to Krauser's.
Yeah, I'm going to Krauser's.
And as a kid, we wouldn't go to Krauser's, and I'd always be like, this isn't Krauser's. Like, I wouldn't say it to him or any of my parents, like my mom either, but I'd be like, why?
Why do you keep calling this Krauser's?
Yeah, why? It was like ubiquitous, I guess.
See, some things just are ubiquitous, Quinn. I mentioned Circle K. I guess we should give them a little bit of attention because I don't want to pretend like the Northeast is the only part of the U.S., even though it's the best part. I don't want to pretend it's the only part. Circle K is no slouch in the convenience store realm. There's over 15,000 of them.
I've been to one of them before in some road trip or something.
Yeah.
It was just a convenience store. I didn't really see anything that was like, whoa, this is amazing. Or
it's literally just a convenience store.
Yeah.
Circle K, the one-stop wonder.
I remember our friend, the Colonel from Kentucky, when he was new to the area.
Right.
And we were with him and one of our other friends, and we were asking him, like, do you have 7-Eleven? He's like, no, we have Circle K.
Right.
And then our other friend was like, would people think I'm weird in Kentucky?
Yeah.
That was cute. But I guess at the time, and I don't know if that's changed, they didn't have 7-Eleven in Kentucky.
Right.
I don't know if they're still in every single state.
I'm guessing that they were in, like, more major cities in rural areas.
Maybe.
Because 7-Eleven, like, it's not like they weren't everywhere.
Yeah, I don't... Honestly, folks, let us know, because if you don't have a 7-Eleven, we'd be interested in hearing that.
I only think this because of the... I know the, like, the Japanese model 7-Eleven is very, like, city-centric.
Yes.
Like, you know... Like, I like to watch, like, Tokyo tours because I just think it's a cool-looking city.
You do want to go there one day.
I do. And, like, a lot of times I'll notice, like, when they're walking through the city and giving you the tour... There's always like 7-Elevens just like scattered throughout Tokyo. Like there's tons of them.
And they're probably really nice too.
Yeah, they look really cool actually. They're all lit up and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Quinn. When pizzerias come back, I'll take you to Japan.
Do we have a
deal?
Tokyo?
We have a deal. Yeah, I'll take it. Give you a TKO
from
flight. Tokyo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. We'll read on the plane. We'll do a podcast on the plane.
Live.
That won't annoy anybody.
Yeah.
There's also, of course, Couche-Tard.
Couche-Tard?
Yeah, of course.
I've never heard of Couche-Tard.
Couche-Tard.
What is that? Is that...
No, it is real, Quinn, just so you know. Couche-tard, it's a...
Couche-tard?
Couche-tard.
Now, why is it like a bird or something?
It's a winking owl, I think.
Yeah. What is this logo?
It's being a couche bag.
Many acquisitions and partnerships later, Couche-tard now primarily operates Circle K, Couche-tard, Ingo, and Holiday stores in 24 countries across the world.
Is this like European or something? Because the way it's spelled, it looks like it's French or something.
It does look French, and I'd be interested to know if you have a...
Is it Couche-tard? Or like you know what I'm saying? Like it's pronounced differently?
I truly believe that it is Couche-tard. If it helps you feel better, Quinn, its headquarters is in Quebec.
There you go. That name just looks too...
French?
Too French to me.
Qu'est-ce que c'est? But it does have a presence in the United States, Estonia, of course, okay. And Latvia. And
seems very European, even the blue in the logo, like the sign or whatever.
It's very stern. Like yeah. The owl's like a little sassy.
Yeah, yeah.
Folks,
look
up the Couche-tard owl, please. Anyway, I also wanted to mention some other stores such as Speedway. Now, Speedway is an interesting case because...
I don't like Speedway. They're encroaching on like... territory that I do not agree with.
Well, here's the deal with Speedway, and maybe you're familiar with Speedway,
they
folks.
Stink.
We weren't. Our longtime Hess station in our town in 2015, I want to say it
got
was.
Got invaded.
When Speedway bought out Hess, and thus the Hess Express store became a Speedway.
I have a problem with this because there's something like... It should always exist. I don't know any other way to explain it. It's just like such a staple.
And it's green.
It's got this logo that like everyone recognizes.
It's
and
very
I just,
pleasing.
When they just plastered the crappy Speedway, I was just so upset about this.
Our town was very pissed for like a while.
It's like, could you guys like read the room? Like you bought it, right? We're proud of you. Just keep calling it Hess. Like you don't have to change it. Like
you
right?
still own it.
Yeah, you can still own it. You don't have to like plaster your logo that nobody knows who you are.
That is true.
Right? It's like everyone's like, who the fuck are these? Like I know people that literally like, I'm not going there. That's not Hess. Like,
I know, it's true. Now I will tell you though, in a dramatic twist of irony, in 2020, 7-Eleven acquired Speedway. So they actually own Speedway now, but they operate them under Speedway.
You know, 7-Eleven, you need to like just bring the Hess brand name back. Just change all the Speedways to Hess.
That'd be great. There's also Wawa. Now, Wawa is technically a convenience store, but this is one of those stores, and we're going to talk about some variations on the theme here, Quinn.
I feel like Wawa is weirdly like the biggest competitor to 7-Eleven.
Well, see, for me, it's like a step up.
Yeah. It always has been. It always marketed itself that way to like kind of be different or whatever.
Right. Because
it's like we got a little bit better than a normal convenience store.
You can get all the 7-Eleven stuff besides, obviously, you know, the big bite and the Slurpee. But you can get like a fresh sandwich made.
Right.
And stuff
and,
like
and,
that.
And so like, here's the thing. Wawa to me marketed itself kind of like how like Cumberland Farms used to be.
Sure.
Where
Wells
it's
kind
of like, it's like, we're like more of like a farmer's market convenience store, right?
Yeah.
Like even down to like the aesthetic on the inside, it's more like homey. Like,
it is homier. They have a nice tile floor.
Yeah, like I always thought that was like Wawa's like, it's like we're friendlier. Like you want, like 7-Eleven's like if it's like super late and you really need some crap.
It's like having to piss in a dirty urinal.
But if you want like a sandwich or want to get like, usually the drink selection was always better at Wawa.
Excellent.
Yeah, they had their own like custom like iced tea and
Wawa
stuff.
Wawa custom iced tea, it's
so
real.
I always thought like Wawa was just like the friendlier, nicer local store. It's like you don't have to go to the crappy 7-Eleven.
It is nice to know that a farmer is providing my Utz party mix.
Right.
From Wawa.
They pick the Utz party mix out of the
cheese
fields.
Balls right out of the field.
Yeah.
My choice, my Wawa.
But there's also Quick Check is like a similar vein, and the much other place.
Quick Check is yucky though in comparison to Wawa. It's always like,
I don't like it as much.
It always was like very junky.
Yeah, I've like, never liked it as much.
Yeah.
As, well, we used to. Quinn and I used to work close to each other.
Yeah.
A town over from each other.
They had a nicer Quick Check.
A nice Quick Check.
It was like, hey, we're like a Wawa Quick Check,
yes.
Right? It was like that.
We ran into each other in there, I want to say, in the 2.5 years that I worked at this place.
A couple of times.
Maybe 3 times. And we always called it work mode.
We were just kind of like, we wouldn't like really acknowledge each other too much.
You know
like,
how it is when you're in work mode?
It's like, oh, hi.
We're wearing and our button-down shirts.
Yeah, just like, it's like, you just kind of want to like get away from each other because it's like, these zones are not supposed to like enter intertwine.
Yeah, we don't want to cross these streams.
Yeah,
right? Like, you guys know what I mean.
It was like an understanding if we saw each other in there, right?
Yeah, which is like, hey.
Yeah,
it wasn't,
because also you might be with somebody from work who's not supposed to be in this circle,
right? From like 8 to 4, it's a different zone.
Yeah,
you know, and the quick check is part of that zone.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, there were some interesting characters in that place. New Stupid being one of them.
Yeah, New Stupid.
New Stupid. Anyway, moving on here, Quinn. Another variation on this, and I know that you have a little bit of a hang up about this, is very similar. In fact, it's probably a synonym for a convenience store, but there's a specific type, the one-off, the generic, the mini mart.
The mini mart, which they're always like Fred's mini mart, or like,
right.
Yeah, like they're never like brand name. My biggest issue with them, and there is one even right by your home here,
Right down the road.
I really like the guys in there.
Yeah, they're nice.
But the place is garbage.
Oh, like, it's horrible.
And like, you know what the biggest problem with these kind of places is? They always have stale stuff. Like, I can never understand like how you could run a store and have literally stale food items like on the shelves.
And you ever notice as the years go on,
there's like dust on it.
Yeah, this is real, folks.
Yeah.
More and more counter space is dedicated to like glass pipes and edibles and stuff. Right,
well, yeah.
And because, I'm not complaining,
listen,
but I'm just saying.
You know what? I saw they recently, they're really pushing into the pipe situation.
They are.
And I'm wondering, I'm like, this might be like a better business for them, because then they don't have to worry about the stale food and stuff. You know, people still go in there for cigarettes and lottery tickets anyway, so why not sell? Since weed is like legal now, why not just get into that business, right?
They seem to be flourishing.
Right? You can still sell like soda and crap, because that won't get stale, but like other than that, and you have the refrigerators anyway, then just convert the rest to like weed and shit. Like,
they have a deli counter there. Would you get a sandwich from there?
Hell no! I still can't believe that place maintains the deli counter. I cannot believe it. Because it's like a holdover from when it was like owned by somebody else.
Yeah. Like 5 years ago, not even that long ago, remember? Maybe
when
10, but
when it was owned by like there was like a farm right next to this place. I'm pretty sure it was owned by that farmer.
Yes, and they used to sell live bait.
Yeah,
they don't do that anymore.
Oh, the live bait's gone. The live bait was there as soon as like I'm talking 3-4 months ago.
Oh, maybe they do it then. I haven't looked. Okay, maybe
I think
I'm
it's
wrong.
Seasonal, Joe. During fishing
like
in the
tomatoes.
Winter. In the winter, they ain't selling bait.
Yes, I know. I'm kidding,
nobody's
Glenn.
Going fishing down by the river up there in like 2-degree weather.
But what you're saying is you wouldn't get a sandwich from this place.
Oh, hell no. Especially when they're selling live bait in the corner. I have purchased the live bait to go fishing before there.
Buzz head worms. Yeah, I have too, actually. I have.
It's convenient. Literally, because it's right like down that road's where the fishing is.
Folks, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Literally down the road.
It's like, oh, well, perfect. I can get my bait here and just drive a couple more feet, practically, to the water.
This, the trope with this type of place, with this mini mart, is it's usually dusty, like Quinn said.
Yeah, always dusty.
You never know.
And I always see them cleaning it, too.
Yeah,
which is weird.
It's never clean.
Yeah, I'm like, they mop, like, all the time, and it's still garbage. Like, where is it coming from?
And you're never really quite sure if they're buying this stuff from where they're supposed to be, like how some of this merchandise is getting there, these
like,
off brands.
Are they really hooked up with Pepperidge Farms or not?
Or are they just going to ShopRite and then buying it and marking it up?
Right.
You know what I mean? And there's nothing wrong with that. I happen to love my local mini mart.
They're good.
The one you're talking about.
Yeah, I like the guys in
there.
They're good.
They're very nice people.
I used to be more big with the 7-Eleven guys. In time, I've kind of grown to like our mini mart guys better.
It's good.
That's not to say I don't have the more fonder memories of the 7-Eleven people.
Later, yeah. You're probably wondering, folks, how in the world is any of this an acid-washed memory?
I just mentioned some memories.
Yeah, well, to me anyway, and I know for Quinn, when you were a kid and you were at the behest of your parents if you're in the car with them,
right?
Every now and then you'd get treated to going into a store.
Right.
That perhaps you were maybe not used to going to, or maybe it was like a regular. For me, it was our local, it was called the Brown Bag, was our local
one. I remember that one.
And my grandfather would get lottery tickets there and stuff, you know. And there was also the Monroe Deli.
Monroe Market Deli, whatever. Yeah. What do I call it?
Monroe Park.
Monroe Park Deli. Yes.
Which, incidentally, is shaped that way because it used to be a 7-Eleven before we were born.
That place is great.
Yeah, I know.
That place has good sandwiches.
Yeah, those I can trust.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of memories for me tied to going to the store, but I also won't lie. I still very frequently have a rotation of stores I buy my snacks at, like this Mini Mart, Wawa, 7-Eleven, Speedway, I hate to admit, but occasionally it's...
Trader.
I mean, it's close.
Don't go over there.
I go out of my way to 7-Eleven because I like it better.
I only get gas there. I would never shop in that. Never again, Joe.
You really hate that Speedway, huh?
I cannot forgive them for changing the name.
Remember when that lady was very mean and would say they were closed when it was like 9:31?
That's another thing. I was already on edge with them, you know? Like,
they close at 10. You'd walk in and be like 9:30. She'd be like, no, we're closed. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
No, you're not.
Like, the doors are literally open. And they're like, dude, do not come in here.
What?
They're like JR with the live wire.
Get out of here. Don't call live wire. Don't buy cigarettes.
Yeah, you're not even going to bait me into this one. You're talking about the gosh darn corner store, for crying out loud. A bunch of clowns, bozos. Yeah, you heard me. Bozos. Not even the good one, like a local bozo. Some asshole in a clown mask. That's you.
But we are going to be talking more about the experience. Before we go to break, though, Quinn, you have this weird fascination with mini marts in weird locations.
Okay, yeah, so this came rushing back to me the other day, right? I know there's probably more folks who listen to this show because I know some people live in more rural areas than we do. I'm always fascinated when they put like a strip mall with a mini mart, like a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' or something.
Yes.
Like in the middle of nowhere. And isn't this spooky?
No.
And who is even like funding this? Like, because if you think about it, right? They're like, there's this one by us that I was like fascinated with, right?
I know the one you mean. It's about 15 minutes from here.
Okay, so
not even.
It's in this area where it's just all warehouses. There is like no homes, like at all. Right?
That's correct.
Like none.
Yes.
And then one day, somebody got the bright idea. There was like this little patch of grass practically like outside the warehouses like for a million years.
Better put something there.
And somebody decides all of a sudden they start constructing like a strip mall, and not the biggest strip mall, maybe like what, 7 to 8 stores at most?
Yeah, it's like 6 maybe.
Yeah. And somehow Dunkin' Donuts is here, and I'm like, who approved this? But like nobody would ever come here for like this, like ever.
It's all the warehouse workers.
Yeah, but I'm just
on their way to work, on the way home, okay, at lunch.
But this is around like other places too. But like what I'm talking about is when you put stuff in these locations and maybe they're to serve a single purpose, don't you think it's weird that, like, for example, if you put it in a warehouse zone, right, you have zero traffic on the weekend. And the weekend might be your busiest time for coffee and donuts. You know, like some people get munchkins for the kids on Sunday morning.
This means a lot to you, doesn't it?
I just think that this is just such a weird concept. It's almost like a weird New Jersey thing to me, like where it's like, it's almost like spooky, the concept of putting a strip mall in the middle of nothing. Like I remember once going up to the Poconos.
The Poconos.
And there was a strip mall, like literally like you could tell that there was once like a, like it was just forest or something, and there was like a mountain. It was like at the foot of like the ridge or the mountain or something, and somebody like, and there was a road, and you could just tell somebody said, hey, this random plot of land, we'll just tear down all the trees in a perfect square and just plop a strip mall here. And it's like literally in the middle of nowhere. If you look on the other side of the road, it's just like farmland as far as the eye can see. There's nothing.
Well, it's so travelers have a place to stop if they need to.
It's just peculiar. It's got a spooky element to it.
And a little eerie.
Yes, that's all it is. It's this idea of just cutting out a piece of land to put something somewhere because probably some random mayor zoned it for like commercial, like for no reason.
Is this one of those weird like phobias, the way some people don't like the word moist? Like
maybe.
You just have a problem with this type of thing.
I get very disoriented if I see like a strip mall with convenience store and stuff like in a weird, odd, like out of place area.
It would be worse if you saw a clown in that same strip mall, though.
I'm not I don't have anything against clowns. Other people do, not me.
Well, you heard it here first. Folks, on the other side of this break, we'll talk more about clowns, strip mall locations, and memories and the experience of not only 7-Eleven, but your local convenience store. Folks, thank you so much for being with us here. On the other side of this break, we continue this very casual but very important discussion
so important.
On 7-Eleven when more Acid Wash Memories returns.
the good things always come easy at your nearby 7-Eleven store. 7-Eleven has Coke, Diet Coke, Cherry Coke, and Sprite. Just 99 cents for a big 2-liter bottle. And Frito-Lay Big Grab packages, all flavors, two for only 79 cents. And healthy Tropicana juices, orange, grapefruit, or apple, just $1.19 a quart. At 7-Eleven, get the good things easy.
Could 7-Eleven offer the same kind of fountain soft drink value as McDonald's and Burger King? Sure, but you get less and pay more, because we'd have to cut our 44-ounce Super Big Gulp in half down to their 22-ounce size. 7-Eleven already gives you twice as much as McDonald's or Burger King's 22-ounce drinks for less money. We even give you a choice of Coke or Pepsi. They don't. It's only 59 cents all this month, and that's what makes our 44-ounce Super Big Gulp super.
Wendy's, where you get the best burgers in the business, introduces the new Super Bar, featuring Salad by Selena, Fettuccine by Frank, Tortillas by Teresa, and Everything a la Al. Where for one low price, you can create a lunch or dinner with unlimited seconds, so you can have just about anything you're in the mood for, even if you're in the mood for everything. Like Al. Wendy's new Super Bar. Create your own meal.
And now we return to more acid-washed memories.
Hey, you made it back. Thank
you're
you.
You're back. You're back, folks.
Welcome to episode 60. Welcome back to episode 63, acid-washed memories. Talking about 7-Eleven and other convenience stores. I had to coax Quinn back to the studio after he got so unsettled about remote mini-mart locations.
It's bothersome.
It is. Folks, if you're bothered by it, Quinn really wants to know. Mm-hmm. I want pizzerias back, and Quinn only wants mini-marts in populated locale.
Not just convenient locales, because they're convenience stores. They should not be in weird zoned areas. Okay. With nothing.
Folks, let us know your thoughts on zoning laws for strip malls at AWM Podcast on Twitter, and join our Facebook group. I'm falling over on my chair here. And another thing, if you could, very casual episode. Another thing, if you could, would be to leave us a review on your podcast app mm-hmm. of choice. We'd really appreciate that. Well, Quinn, we went into a cursory view of the history of not only convenience stores, but 7-Eleven. We talked about some other ones.
Right.
We talked about your weird hang-ups about their locations.
Some of them.
But I do want to get into the experience aspect of going there. And as a kid, as an adult, I guess one thing to say, if you live in a small town, which mm-hmm. I grew up in,
right,
sometimes your local convenience store is like your only option for something to do.
It's true.
It sucks. Like when you're a kid, when you're 12, mm-hmm. 14, you don't have a car yet.
Yeah.
You can't really, there's nowhere to go.
I mean, I used to walk to that strip mart with the strip mall with the, it was like right across the street, like diagonally when I lived in the town next to you or in the same town as you.
Oh yeah. I worked at that store.
There was that AJ Garden AJ Chinese Garden. Restaurant uh-huh. and like there was that the store itself. What was that called?
Palmetto Foods.
I worked yes. there.
And there was also a pizza place. I forget right. the name of it though.
Hi. It was the name of the pizza place was actually it was called Cafe Mario. That was the name of it.
I mean, even to this day, the Speedway that Quinn hates, sometimes you'll find, you know, 4 to 6 kids just like
on their bicycles yep. just there.
Now, can I ask a question? Because I don't remember. And if folks, maybe you have kids this age, because some of our listeners are older than we are, or maybe you just remember this. Why do kids in stores act like they've never been anywhere ever? And I mean like teenagers. I don't mean like 4-year-olds.
I'll tell you why.
Why do they like, blah, bag of burn the ball? Like, why do they do that? I can't remember why.
No,
I did it. I just don't remember.
You know why.
I don't remember. I'm asking.
Because you're with your friends and you feel
so
like...
So you shove each other into chips?
No, because you're with your friends and there's no parents around and you're like...
Oh, and you're so cool.
It's like a freedom and thing, and it's like a impressing your... Like, look how cool I am. I'm defying the man, right?
By shoving you into the Entenmann's?
Yes. Used to do all sorts of weird crap.
Me?
When we would hang out.
Never. No, I was really asking, though, because I'm getting up there, Quinn. Soon enough,
your kids will be old enough to be wandering the streets.
Don't
and
say that.
They'll be saying weird, doing weird crap in the stores.
They will, won't they?
I mean, remember what we used to do in the mall? Like, just
no,
like
I
hang
don't.
Out and go in the stores and act like idiots?
Yeah, but why did we do it is what I'm asking.
Because there again,
because you can.
Because you can, and there's no parents around.
Well, I definitely did. I'm not going to deny that. Yeah. I just am trying to remember the
psychology.
You know,
I feel bad for kids now because now the mall cops in these malls, they're like parents or something. Like it's like they don't actually like they're not there for security. They're there for parenting purposes. Like it's and it's real, very man. It's like, dude, like what? You're not my dad. Like get out of here.
Get out of here, Kevin James. No, yeah. Like really. Yeah. Like, in all seriousness,
it's like stop being a drag, dude.
Come on, like, being a drag, man.
Because it's like if you watch a movie like Fast Times at Ridgemont High, right? There was no like mall security in that movie, and they're like all the kids are in the mall acting like idiots the whole time.
That's right. Fast Times is a documentary, right, about real life.
I mean, kind of. Do you know like the story behind kind like of, how yeah. that movie got
well,
made?
Amy Heckerling,
like that, like, but yeah, but. Cameron Crowe wrote it.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is he posed as like a teenager or something. Like
yeah, to go to high school. Yes,
to,
I know.
To write like a whole like thing about it, and that's how Fast Times was born. It was basically like, what if I posed as a teen, like he was young,
yeah,
so he could, and he posed as a teenager,
yep.
And he hung out in the malls of the early 80s with these kids, and he knew what was going on.
And apparently there was no mall security.
But it's like, you look back at that movie, it captures the time perfectly, because, yeah, there is no fucking mall security. Like, it's not there.
That's true.
There's nobody policing anybody. It's like a kid world.
Well, I guess that explains the psychology.
Yeah.
But that's part of my memory. I'll never forget in 1999... walking from my high school to the nearest 7-Eleven, which you know where that was. It wasn't too far away.
Right.
Right up the road there by the ShopRite.
Right.
Just to get, because I had seen it on WWF programming, Hanson's Energy Drink.
Oh, boy.
Do you remember that? Hanson's Energy Drink!
I definitely, JR coaxed me into getting that too once, and then I was like, this is just Gatorade. Like, what is
it's
this?
Like, it's like all sport.
Yeah.
Xbox drinking it. Look at him.
I got a drink there.
It's good stuff, King.
Yeah.
Yeah, ha ha. Yeah, how would you like to sniff my shorts? Huh?
But sorry.
There was definitely that. What was that Rogue mini mart like by where I was? I worked at the video store, but like the what is that mini mart called?
Mini mart food stores.
Okay.
My mom used to call it Dopey's.
Yeah, but that place, didn't they have WWF ice cream pops like well after they were supposed to exist?
Quinn. I bought one from there in 1995. It came with a card that had Andre the Giant versus Bam Bam Bigelow. I'm not joking, and
how
I didn't know
that?
You would ask me that.
Yeah, because I remember like somebody told me that they still had them because they were even in the late 90s and early 2000s. There was still like there was rumors that they like still like were being sold in places, and I don't know if it was you or somebody told me that they still carried them over there.
It might have been me. Yeah, yeah. I did get them there. Like, yeah, but I don't know how old that stock was. I think it had like Greg Valentine on the bar
God
or something.
Lord.
It was old
in like 2001.
No, 95. But still,
Greg Valentine was old in that.
That's
what I'm
saying. But that's the whole thing. Is like a lot of memory with mini marts. The one I love the one offs. They're actually as much as 7-Eleven is like my overall favorite.
Right.
The one offs are great because you never know what you're gonna get. You know what I mean?
Oh, they are weird.
They really are.
But one of the things that with convenience stores that always bug me is the lottery people.
Yeah, and listen, if you're one of the lottery people, I forgive you, but you really do hold things up.
Yeah, like, no matter what you're doing at the convenience store, it's always, like, interrupted by the lottery people. Like,
yeah.
You're getting a soda or, like, a candy or whatever you're doing.
A pack of cigarettes
or
something.
Yeah, whatever the hell you're doing, it's like the lottery people are like, they're like, 7, 10. It's like, dude, like, there's other business here, right?
Yeah.
They're like, the worst thing that I hate about the lottery stuff is that they'll, like, play the lottery, like, at the, like, lottery booth. Because usually they, like, quarantine it off because they know these people are, like, it's like the OTB in there. They are going to play until they're out of money.
Pete Rose is in there sometimes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, they're going to play until they're out of money and they just keep playing, right?
Yeah, it's...
Scratch-offs are like horrible. At least with the regular lottery, they pick the numbers and they leave and it draws that night. But
the
then
people that do the scratch-offs at the counter...
It's like, dude...
Get the fuck away from
me. They buy like 30 of them.
And again...
And they're just scratching this crap all over the place. You know what I mean.
Crumbs?
Yeah, there's like lottery crumbs.
And again, if you're one of these people, we apologize... But really, stop.
But you know what it is? It's not that I'm mad at you. It's that I need you guys to be aware of your surroundings. You need to be more like, Like, like if you see that like other people are trying to buy things,
like a Snickers,
you need to be the guy, because I've seen lottery people that are considerate.
Yes.
They'll say like, oh, take him first or what? Like
that just happened to me like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, like there's good lottery people and there's bad lottery people. They don't give a shit.
I think the older they are, the worse they are.
Yeah,
it's like, always like the 89-year-old lady.
Yeah, lottery people. This is a general announcement. Just like, you guys are the ones holding things up. You need to like let everyone, like, you need to be considerate when you're playing, right? That's all I'm asking. We get it. That's your thing, right? That's your hobby or whatever.
Yeah.
Just don't hold up everyone.
Next week in Asawash Memories, the history of the New Jersey Lottery.
Yes. it pays to dream.
It certainly does. So let's talk about some of the products at 7-Eleven specifically, just to kind of, you know, pay tribute to the namesake of the show. Would you say the Slurpee is the most famous thing they offer?
Yes, that's their like signature. If Wawa has its iced tea and sandwiches, 7-Eleven, the Slurpee is their deal. And you know, it's funny you mentioned the whole ice thing with them as their basis. I wonder if that's where that came from.
To an extent. So 1966 is when the Slurpee was first off. That's the year the Beatles played their last live concert.
Well, thank you.
That's always the timestamp for 1966. This is what I think of for some reason.
And not any other significant historical
events. That's the only thing I think of when I think. Yeah. Is that wrong? Am I wrong?
The Beatles.
The Beatles. Originally, Slurpee was made under a deal, Quinn, with the Icy company. You know Icy?
Yeah.
The Icy. Slushy drink?
Yeah, them. I know them.
You've heard of them.
Is Icy also own those big, like, gigantic refrigerators that are for some reason like outside of some
That's Icy, isn't it? Isn't that Icy brand?
Yeah, like the like where you're just supposed to grab the ice because they're like, we're not putting this inside.
Yeah, but you have like, to like be you, it's the honor system and you need to tell them.
But I always wonder, it's like they just let that shit get rained on and stuff. Like,
it's a machine and it's under an awning.
I don't know.
There's an awning.
I don't know if you're supposed to let that machinery get rained on. It's still running under electricity.
No, but that is a reinforced, you know,
I
steel.
Hope so. It's got breathing holes, obviously, for heat.
It's not a hamster. You're
dissipating
breathing holes.
Yes, it does. It's a refrigerator at the end of the day. It needs to dissipate heat.
You mean a vent?
Yeah, it needs to dissipate heat somehow. Water could get in
it's
there.
It's not a butterfly you caught and you're putting in a plastic Tupperware. It's not a breathing hole. Anyway, 1966, the Slurpee. Do you like Slurpees? You ever have one?
I like them.
Some
people love them.
You don't swear by him?
I don't swear by him.
You know who does?
Who?
My 6-year-old.
Well, of course.
He had his first...
Kids love Slurpees.
I did as a kid, too.
I found out recently my mom got into Slurpees, and she, like, really likes them.
Wait, in her older age?
Yes. Like in the last couple years, she
hell
just...
Hell yeah!
She just, like, she had one at a 7-Eleven a couple years back, and now she's just, like, hooked on them.
That's the kind of stuff I want to hear.
Yeah.
Now, does your dad...
See, doesn't that give you hope for when you get older, and, like, there'll be, like, something you, like, overlooked? Like, some food thing you just were like, I don't... Screw that or whatever, and then you get old, and you're like...
Maybe one day I'll walk in on you eating mac and cheese, Quinn. You never know.
Yeah, maybe.
Does your dad still listen to the show?
I think so, yeah.
I would like to hear his thoughts on Slurpees.
Slurpees?
He'll let us know.
I don't know if my dad's into Slurpees or not.
If you're listening, Quinn's dad, please let us know your thoughts on Slurpees.
Yes.
That'd be very nice. Then there's the 10 years later in 1976, which obviously was the year of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers' first album.
Yes, of course.
That's what everyone thinks of 1976
right,
for.
Yeah.
And the Bicentennial.
Mm-hmm.
The Big Gulp was introduced.
Yes, the Big Gulp.
So that is a big soda cup.
That's all it is. But the Big Gulp wasn't... I seem to remember originally when they introduced the Big Gulp.
Yes.
Right?
What?
Is that it was like a bigger Slurpee at first. It wasn't a soda. Really?
It's just a fucking
cup. Thought it was Big Gulp for Slurpee. Like you could put like more Slurpee in it.
I think it's a faux pas to use a Big Gulp cup for a Slurpee. You're not supposed to do that.
Is it though?
I don't know.
I mean, you put Slurpee in a cup, too. Like, I'm pretty sure you can take the Big Gulp and just fill it with Slurpee if you like.
They might not like if you do
that. What do you mean they don't like it? Like, it's right, they're right next to each other.
What's the difference?
They're literally next, there's a cup selection for the Slurpee, and there's like multiple, and Big Gulp is one of them.
Yeah, but one's green, one's blue. It might throw everything.
You think they would actually say something if you like put like a Slurpee in a Big Gulp?
I don't think they'd give any kind of a shit.
I mean, they barely care about anything going on in there in the first place.
It's true. But Big Gulp is fountain drinks. And originally, I did not know this. I looked this up.
That's a lot of soda, even for me. And I like soda a lot.
But like,
I don't even like
bucket.
Do that. I refuse to do that.
It's like a half gallon.
It's like, bro, like put water in that or something. Like that is ridiculous.
It'll go flat by the time you finish it.
Yeah.
These were originally served from behind the counter until the mid 80s.
So, and actually, you know, it's funny you say that because I always thought it was kind of weird to put something that you so big you could fill up with so much product. Like, couldn't people like just steal that way? Like, you know, bring in like an old big gulp cup and kind of like start filling it up.
Yeah, but they have cameras.
They're checking it right there. I mean, really?
Yeah, but the guy's looking.
Yeah.
Someone's looking.
Someone.
You're in the purview of the register.
True.
They always strategically put the like fountain pumps and the slurping machine like where the register guy can see you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like right off to
that
the
side. That is true.
They know.
Yeah, but sometimes they're like on their iPad and crap. Like
more frequently,
stalking.
I've noticed.
And it's a, how do they notice then?
Usually they're just on the phone these days.
Yeah,
like
and
talking,
a lot of them are.
Just talking.
Yeah.
Which I don't begrudge them, whatever. It's probably fucking boring.
I mean, what can you do all day in a 7-Eleven?
Sell people lottery tickets, yeah. I guess. It's like Clark's.
You must.
Cigarettes.
If I worked at a 7-Eleven, it would probably, the lottery people would probably be the most annoying. Like, I would like detest them. Like, I'd probably like hate it. Right, because like you have to just sit there and punch numbers for them, like you're working at a computer for these people.
You know what? That's an interesting call to action, folks. If you've worked at a 7-Eleven or similar, any type of store like this, what do you think of the lottery people?
Yeah,
we want to know. And if you are a lottery person, like we said, stop.
But I also think hear me out. Like okay. I think I respect the lottery people only
respect
because
you.
I think, yeah, it takes, they're playing the long game and whatnot, but I also like wonder if they're like self-aware that they're like, you know what I'm saying? That they're like a certain type of like convenience store shopper.
There's another type. The Big Bite is a type. It's a type of hot dog.
Yes, the Big Bite. So this is 7-Eleven again, getting in on its Americana, right?
Yeah, with a wiener.
I don't
dislike the Big Bite.
I don't dislike it either because you know what the thing is?
The Fixin's bar?
Yes, there's the Fixin's bar thing. And then there's that whole, like, I got to say, there's a certain, if you hit it at the right time of day, when those hot dogs are rolling on the heaters.
Oh, yeah, they're really on the heater.
there's like a certain point when it's not too overcooked, but it's like, it's just plump. Like, it's like perfect. It's awesome.
It's not wrinkly yet.
Yeah, it's really good, actually.
Yeah.
Because they cook it even. That cooks it evenly, to be fair.
Oh, it does. It's not like a fresh rolled hot dog, mm-hmm. but you're right.
Introducing the 7-Eleven Big Bite, made by Oscar Mayer.
I got to say, I've had the Big Bite several times in my life. Yeah, they got onions. They got like
all the
different condiments.
The fact that the Fixins, that's the real like extra stuff that like you might not have at your house. Like you might have not all those Fixins.
I don't have all those Fixins.
Right. But at 7-Eleven, they got everything.
Tons of Fixins.
Now, I was not a fan of when 7-Eleven got into like chicken nuggets and whatever.
Pizza?
Like it's like, bro, like listen, hot dogs is one thing, but that.
They got into chicken fingers. I had them. Very odd to get chicken fingers at 7-Eleven.
I think I was with you when you first, because it was like when they were first introduced, and I was just like, why are you doing that?
It's a valid question.
Yeah,
it's like the concession stand from when I was in Little League.
I 99% sure it was when we were like watching Raw every week and we like headed over to 7-Eleven before to like fill up.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
And like they just had gotten them and I was like, why are you doing this?
And
like,
you were right.
It's like, why would you do this?
Fair question. Although I will say, I like their taquitos.
I've never had those.
What?
The thing is, I don't trust their like outside the Big Gulp and Slurpee.
But it's
products.
On the same rollers as the Big Bite, man. It's on the rollers. Big it Bite. Heats it evenly.
As much as I don't think Big Bite is great, it's like an American staple. Like they can't screw that up.
Can I just say I've had worse hot dogs than the Big Bite?
Yeah,
I have.
I've had worse hot dogs at like Yankee Stadium than the Big Bite. Like, no joke.
Yeah, you're right about that. And less fixins, too, at Yankee Stadium.
Although, Yankee Stadium introduced me to the concept of putting hot sauce on a hot dog. And that,
how good is that, right?
I cannot not do that anymore.
What's your favorite kind to put on there? Like, any kind?
Even, like, just
Frank's
a,
Red Hot is good
on there. Basic Frank's Red Hot is, like, actually really good.
Yeah.
Sriracha, too, does wonders on a hot dog. Very good.
I still get Cholula. I'm a big fan of Cholula.
Cholula's good.
I like Cholula.
Yeah, there's a lot of options because you have all the different hot sauces, but, like, that mix with a hot dog is actually like something I didn't realize until my 20s was even a thing. Like was like a mix you could do that wouldn't taste like crap.
It does. It tastes very good. Can we mention, by the way, in case people are wondering why we didn't bring it up, in New Jersey, and I don't know if we're the only state, but if we're not, we're one of the few. You cannot buy liquor or beer or wine
right
at a convenience or any store other than a specific liquor store.
Yeah, the stores are licensed specifically for liquor, and usually like big chains will just not even spare the expense because they don't want to. It's all politics.
It's all red tape and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, like they're like Walmart ain't gonna even get touch that.
So even though let's say a 7-Eleven in Tampa, Florida, which I've been right. to.
I've been to 7-Elevens in New York City and they got liquor.
Yeah. Yeah, you walk in, you buy a six-pack of Bud or whatever.
They just got it. Like, yeah. It's not like, and nobody like even bats an eye. No. It's just like the way it is.
But for us in Jersey, it's a foreign thing. It's like, what, beer at 7-Eleven?
I was like fascinated by this because I when I first saw it in New York City, I was just like, wait a sec, this didn't even occur to me
yeah.
that this could be a thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. Most stores elsewhere in the country, you can buy yeah. alcohol.
New
there.
Jersey people are always like very like, wow, yeah. liquor in like not a liquor store. This is amazing.
It's the one thing I would like because as much as I am
just inconvenient like that that you have to like because the liquor stores always have their own stupid hours and, they're like,
and their own lottery people.
Yeah. Yeah. They get in on this lottery crap, too. What
they
is that
do.
About?
They do.
They should be banned. It's one or the other. Like, you know,
pick one.
Right.
They do. They try to over egg their pudding and be like, no, we have the cigarettes and the lottery.
We have every vice here. we got all of them.
They got hookers in the back too. Yeah. You have to ask nicely.
Completely uncalled for.
Sorry. No, but in all seriousness, that would be the one perfect thing. You know, it's great that we don't have to pump our own gas here. We can
I like that.
We can pat ourselves on the back.
Some people are like very like, what is wrong with you? It's like you haven't lived until yeah. like you never have to worry about pumping your yeah. gas ever.
Like, we're not dumb. We know how to do it.
We know how to do it. We've I've done it before, yeah. but it sucks. But especially in the winter. Why the hell would you want to do that? I don't even have to get out of my car.
You'd stay in your car in the heat and listen to your podcast or yeah. whatever you're doing.
Uh-huh.
You don't need to get out.
Right.
The other thing I wanted to mention, and this is tongue-in-cheek. So if you go to one of these stores after 10 p.m., Quinn and I used to have a term known as creatures.
Yes, creatures. Oh, there's creatures.
But I think there is a bit of an irony in saying that because we're also there that late. You know what I mean?
Well,
aren't
yeah.
we no less creature-y?
But it's more about, like, do we want to go? Like, the reason this came about was that there would be some times where it was, like, late, and we both maybe needed something, and we were like, but do we want to go deal with the creatures?
Right.
Right? Like, that's what we meant.
No, that's all right. We're just filming people at the 7-Eleven.
Now, I mean no harm in this.
Yeah.
Because I'm a creature. I go out. listen, I'm wearing my pajama pants as we record this.
If you saw the creatures in there, you used to make, like, a face to me where you go,
well, sometimes they're like stumbling yeah. into stuff.
He'd make like a big eye face to me, like to like alert me to
like this one.
Yeah, that was my signal that there's creatures.
Well, because listen, I'm wearing my pajamas right now, the bottoms yeah. and a Dua Lipa shirt. You know, Quinn, I'm going out like this if I needed to.
Well, to 7-Eleven, you wouldn't
yeah.
go. I don't even think you'd step in a Walmart like that.
I'd step in a Walmart like this.
Really?
I have no shame.
Because there's too many people there.
I don't care.
You could run into somebody you know.
Well, then they'll know I wear pajamas and like Dua Lipa.
Huh.
Is it that big a deal?
I guess.
But I'm just saying, I'm a creature. So right. I'm not putting anyone down.
Yes. The more I think of, like, when I think of the creatures, I think of people like the goth kids or something like that, like at these places that like, you know, the same people you run into at Denny's at 2 a.m.
Yeah, no. The same people that you run into that don't buy anything, by the way, that yeah. are just sitting there.
They're just only coffee.
Been there. It's not fun.
And they have like Death Cab for Cutie t-shirts on and stuff. You know what I'm talking
Death
about.
Death Cab for Cutie.
Whatever, and Jenko pants.
That was good. You know, that was a song, Death Cab for Cutie.
It was? I thought they were a band.
It was, but it was named after the song by the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band.
Oh, I see.
In the 60s.
Neat.
Death Cab for Cutie. Death Cab for Cutie.
Just the more you know.
Neat.
But the last thing I really wanted to mention, the final bit here, and I think this is a humane, like, this is, I mean this sincerely, one of my favorite things has been, whether it's various 7-Elevens or other stores, is when you become a regular, getting to know by face the personnel that
yes.
work there. I like that. I'm not
That's
joking.
One of my favorite aspects because people, the one thing that's interesting about 7-Eleven that I've noticed over other stores is they actually, like, the people who work there stay there. Like,
yes.
And I don't know if that's because they have, like, it's a small business because they're, like, franchise or whatever, so it's, like, just kind of stays in the family or whatever.
Right.
But, like, they tend to have just the same people always, and they never go.
and they remember you.
Yeah.
You can be gone for years and they'll remember you.
I have to ask this to 7-Eleven people. I don't know, like, is there benefits or something? Because, like, it is really interesting that a lot of people, like, just stay at 7-Eleven for years and years and years.
They
do. They must take care of their employees. Like, there must be maybe health care or something involved
probably
to keep people from not leaving, is my point.
Probably, yeah. You know? But we used to have some great people. We used to give nicknames to almost everyone. Mm-hmm. We had Jimmy. That was his name, so we called him Jimmy.
Jimmy kind of ran the place.
He was the manager of our local.
What's funny is he started out, he wasn't the manager, but he was practically managing the place before he was the manager.
He took care of shit, yeah.
And there was a point where he just was. Like, he got, like, elevated, and I remember, like, us congratulating him.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, we were like, because he deserved it. We were like, you run this place. Nobody else runs this place, Jimmy.
He was also the one that sold us Raw versus SmackDown 2008 before he should have.
I don't even know how he got that, because they barely sold video games as it was.
Why did we buy a video game at 7-Eleven?
I don't know. He's just like, I'm selling these. You want them?
He was great. I love Jimmy.
He used to say, don't worry about it, buddy, but, like, he used to, like, sometimes scream at it from, like, across the... Like we'd be like, hey, Jimmy, can we, like, do you have any of this? Don't worry about Ba!
Don't worry about Ba! He was great. Yeah. I love Jimmy.
Loved him.
And then there was the big guy. You didn't like him because he was...
Well, he's like the night guy that was like...
He talked too much? Was your problem?
Yeah, he'd tell me like a tale. Like, if I... And I'm like, dude, it's like 4 a.m. Like, I'm not here to listen.
Do I look like I'm in a good mood?
Yeah. Like, it's like, does it really look like I want to be here for more than I have to be? Like, I just want to get back to my bed.
There was old new, and the reason we called him old new is because he was an old guy that was new.
Right.
But then there was another older gentleman that was new, so we couldn't call him old new, so we called him...
New old. And he was awesome.
I didn't like him for the longest time, and Quinn would constantly sing...
So here's the thing, is old new sucked.
Old new was terrible.
He was like the worst shit, right? And then new old came about. Like, first of all, he was an improvement over old new, right? So I was like, listen... I already automatically like you, right? And then he was just kind of like kind to me a couple times, but you hadn't like felt the kindness yet.
No, I didn't.
And I was just like,
very stern.
I'm telling you, Joe, like, new old is good. Like, he's awesome. Like, you have to like give him credit. And then like it took a couple times and he finally like grew on you.
Because he flicked my cigarettes at me from across the counter.
Is that what it was? Yeah.
And then this is a testament to what I was saying. And this is the humane aspect I was talking about. The 7-Eleven that Quinn and I loved, it got bought out by corporate and then shut down in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it finally got shut down in 2020, but I'm saying, like, the good people we knew were gone in 2014.
Yeah, suddenly it was like weird high school kids.
Yeah, it was very odd in there.
What is this?
But some of them wound up, Jimmy included, at a local one for a while. Jimmy's not there anymore.
Yeah, it was further away, but...
Yeah.
And we would go there to visit them sometimes after the closing.
Yeah. Now, I go to that one because it's the closest one. Every now and then I'll go there. And about a year ago, this is almost 10 years after the fact now, who was in there? And I think I texted you, but new old.
He's so nice.
And he remembered me. Yep. And that's what I mean. Almost 10 years later.
I mean, there was other characters to it. Other 7-Eleven sweater is one.
Cutley. There was Siggy.
Yeah.
The kid that was like, Siggy?
Yeah, there were so many characters over the years.
And that's one of the things I love about these places, though, is getting to know the characters.
Yeah, and it was great because they really did remember you. They knew the things you got and like what you were looking for. And they the one thing that when you knew the regulars, it was always a letdown to go to some other 7-Eleven and they didn't know like the things that you
got. It's
true. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And they weren't like ready for you or whatever. Yeah. And like, that's why I like the local ones so much.
I love that. And I love going to the same store over and over. I do. I really do. I just think that there is something to this from both a memory standpoint and just like a societal standpoint, you know, that these stores, as much as we might take them for granted because they're convenience stores.
Right.
I'm there frequently. I know not everyone is there buying snacks
the way I am. I'm not there as frequently
anymore. Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're right. You're not there as much anymore.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm only there to buy snacks. In all truthfulness, my main reason for going is because I'm a late night snacker.
Right.
As people that follow me on Twitter know. You know
what
I mean?
They do know this. You post your snack habits
frequently,
a lot.
Yeah. But I like to mix it up, so I do a rotation.
I think delivery changed my life as far as snacking is concerned.
I think so.
Like, it was like once I was, because this was a thing with 7-Eleven, I was always like, man, 7-Eleven could be the best thing ever if they delivered it to your house.
Yeah.
And then, like, they literally have an app that 7-Eleven themselves have a delivery app.
Yeah, they knew. They knew what to do. So we want to hear your memories, I guess, of going to the convenience store. Maybe the first time you got a Slurpee. Maybe you're a lottery person. Okay, what are we going to do about it? But in all seriousness, do you like going to these stores? Because I do. I mean that unironically.
Right.
I really do. It means a lot to me. And you know what it is? It's not just the being in the store. It's the trip there.
Yes.
It's the, maybe I'm listening to something, you know, maybe it's nice out and I have my windows down and it's like a 6 minute drive, but it's just like a pleasant little
break. It's very nice. Yeah.
And that's what I think where the acid wash memory aspect comes in is that these places have been around as long as all of our listeners have been around. And I think that they are still ubiquitous in our lives, whether we use them on a daily basis or maybe once a month, you know, you go to a convenience store. I think they're important.
Yes.
And I like them.
They're just a part of life that is like a little spice, right? And like, it's just it's a little fun thing you do.
It's a little fun thing you do. And folks, we hope you like this little fun thing we do here on Acid Wash Memories. We do want to hear your memories, though, in all seriousness, your thoughts, your lottery habits, whatever the case may be. Please follow us on Twitter at AWM Podcast and join our Facebook group. But the good news is we will be back next week for something completely different. It will not be anything like this.
Right.
That's what we do each week,
right? It's totally, absolutely different.
Completely different.
We're not going to talk about this.
Don't you worry about it. But until that time, thank you so much for being with us here. Be sure to leave us a review. And we will see you next week for more Acid Wash Memories.
See ya.
Like what you heard? Be sure to leave a review and subscribe on your favorite podcast app. We will see you next week.
On Acid Mosh. Acid Mosh. Winky.